This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
I am so thrilled to be back here with all of my friends in Little Havana.
President Donald Trump outlines plans to roll back President Barack Obama's Cuba policies.
We do not want U.S. dollars to prop up a military monopoly that exploits and abuses the citizens of Cuba.
Florida's own Senator Marco Rubio champions the cause.
The cooperation, the hard work, the commitment that this White House and that President Trump has shown to this cause, I believe, has no precedent.
But for many Cubans living on the island, they feel their future is now once again frozen in time.
Barack Obama was like an open door to the near future of Cuba.
Even some Republican lawmakers are questioning the need for the rollbacks.
What's being proposed in Cuba is at complete odds with what we propose in Russia, as you correctly point out, or in China or Vietnam or a whole host of other communist regimes.
All that and more coming up on episode 110 of The Rotunda. Welcome to the program. We are focusing on U.S.-Cuba relations on this episode, picking up where we left off following my first ever trip to the island in February, during the time of President Barack Obama's normalization measures. You'll hear that report again, and soon after we will continue to present day in Miami with Senator Marco Rubio and President Donald Trump.
In Little Havana.
Welcome to Cuba. I'm Tramell Gomes, and I'm about to share a snippet of my experience visiting the once closed-off, mysterious island, which is still among the least connected countries in the world, though it's located just 90 miles off of Florida's coast. But once you're actually here, you feel like you're on the other side of the globe.
So why did you come to Cuba, first of all?
Should I be honest again?
Please be honest.
I'd like to come before all the Americans came here, before it gets too touristic.
We're always keeping it honest, Jacqueline. She's a tourist from Austria.
Cuba, describe the scene.
Oh, we are at the sunset here in Trinidad, up at the mountains, have a view on the whole city. It's very beautiful here.
It is very beautiful. One of the best sunsets I've witnessed in recent memory. Here we are at the top of Trinidad, Cuba. Not Trinidad and Tobago, Trinidad, Cuba. Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera, Guantanamera. I've heard plenty of stories about Cuba from influential Cuban Americans who labeled the island as a totalitarian nightmare filled with grief, torture, and famine.
With the news that Fidel Castro has died, I join with the Cuban American community and the people of Cuba who have lived for decades under this regime in closing one chapter of this nightmare.
Florida Congresswoman Ileana Ross-Leighton.
I heard a lot of accolades about the great strides in literacy and against malnutrition and education. We know better.
Florida Senate President Pro Tem Anatary Flores.
It's a very, very complicated and personal issue. And really what we wanted to do up to right now is just ensure that that there's information that people understand what the reality of Cuba is, understand that Cuba is a country where visitors and tourists can have the very best and maybe eat at the best restaurants, but where Cubans get a ration book every week and are told what to eat that month. That's a very different reality than what is existing.
So I'm standing in Cuba in search of this dichotomy. Yes, the classic cars are everywhere, along with the friendliest of people stuck in 1950s America.
Cuba is a very loving country. Most Cubans like Cuba a lot. People wouldn't like to move to any other country because this is the place where they were born.
This Cuban English teacher and writer spotted me wandering around Cuba's International Book Fair in Havana and decided to say hello. I'll call him Ernesto to protect him from any unintended consequences from this broadcast.
Just a little while ago, we saw a very, very nice sunset. It's one of the characteristics of the country.
By sheer coincidence, I walked into the nation's most celebrated cultural events. It's like being at a giant fair where the concept of trash bins seems to have gotten lost as the ground is littered with cardboard boxes that once held delicious fried chicken and rice. I was in awe at the bounty of food, fun, and games at this book fair at Morro Castle.
Just a little while ago, I was talking to a friend of mine, a friend of past, as a matter of fact, and he told me that it's the first time he sees this. He has traveled some other countries, but he hasn't seen this, having families together, just talking, not only buying books, but also just spending some time together, having fun. I think it's really great.
Ernesto is very careful with his responses, especially when I asked him about his government's strict control over his people.
The average Cuban tries to go ahead, as we say in Cuba. No matter the circumstances, we try to go ahead. And now we are having a lot of opportunities that have been coming up with the changes, the latest changes that have been taking place between the United States and Cuba. I think it's a very positive step. And we are going to take advantage of this opportunity and try to grow as more as possible.
Many Cubans see President Barack Obama's efforts to normalize U.S.-Cuba relations as a gateway to bring positive change for all. Since Obama's announcement, Cuba's leadership appears to be more flexible by allowing more Cubans to open their own private businesses. The Cuban government is expanding internet access from public squares into homes, while lowering its expensive fees. Tourists can now book their lodging accommodations through Airbnb, just like I did, and work directly with families who are opening their homes. But all of these changes hangs in the balance under President Donald Trump, who had this to say during his campaign.
But all of the concessions that Barack Obama has granted the Castro regime were done through executive order, which means the next president can reverse them. And that I will do unless the Castro regime meets our demands. Those demands will include religious and political freedom for the Cuban people and the freeing of political prisoners.
Florida Senator Marco Rubio, who is of Cuban descent, outlined what he thinks a deal should look like.
Right, here's a good deal. Cuba has free elections. Cuba stops putting people in jail for speaking out. Cuba has freedom of the press. Cuba kicks out the Russians from Lourdes and kicks out this Chinese listening station in Bejucal. Cuba stops helping North Korea invade UN sanctions. Cuba takes all of those fugitives of American justice, including that cop killer from New Jersey, and send her back to the United States and to jail where she belongs. And you know what? Then we can have a relationship with Cuba.
This was said before Trump became president. Now White House spokesman Sean Spicer says the Cuba policy is under review and human rights would be a priority. Also, Trump now says he shares similar views with Rubio on Cuba. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. Be sure to listen to episode 5, 18, and 85 for our ongoing coverage of U.S. and Florida-Cuba relations. For now, tourists are flowing into the once-forbidden tropical island. Again, here is Jacqueline trying to juxtapose what she's heard to what she's now seeing.
Yeah, it's difficult, especially when you live in a free country like Austria. It's very difficult to see how the people have to live here. But they don't seem to care that much about it. The people I talk to, for them it's okay, I think. Mm-hmm. Or they weren't honest to me. That could also be.
Yeah.
Maybe they couldn't talk openly.
But what if you can talk openly without repercussions?
Do you have any idea what it feels like to pretend that you're not from your country, to be really treated like a person?
This Cuban art dealer wanted to remain anonymous.
How do I identify you?
You don't. You don't.
What should I call you?
Why, everyone, not related to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's f- sad, man. I'm asking you not to say my name, mm-hmm. not to say where I live, because I'm scared that I could lose my business and my whole freedom and my whole life, my whole future. Because there's a motherfucker on top who runs this fucked up country. Mm-hmm. And he does not want that this truth gets known by the ones outside.
He explains how on many occasions what he's had to do to escape the harsh life for the average Cuban.
It's a paradise for tourists. You can come here, smoke weed, get yourself relaxed, have sex. I know, just lie down and take a look at the clouds and see how they form stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe go to the beach, take the sun, eat food, have beer, get all the things you want to get yourself relaxed and loose. You can do that. And you are from the United States. Mm-hmm. I was born in here. Why can't I?
Yeah. You're listening to The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. This is your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Be sure to check us out online at rotundapodcast.com or on social media at Rotunda Podcast. You're listening to the first part of my dispatch from episode 96. It's about midnight in a dimly lit square here in Trinidad, Cuba. This art dealer agreed to do this interview after hours and away from his business to protect it. There are kids running around as parents look on from across the courtyard, occasionally staring at us. They make me nervous because the art dealer tells me no one can be trusted.
You never know if the person you've been living next to for 30 years works for the government or not. Mm-hmm. You never know. Cuban people are totally paranoid. 24/7 paranoid.
And I started feeling that paranoia. When it comes to things Americans have grown accustomed to, like constantly being connected to the World Wide Web, free and open access is a concept in the future. To give some additional perspective, the arrival of the internet is one of the biggest revolutions this island has seen since Fidel Castro's revolution in 1959. In July of 2015, just 2 years ago, the Cuban people were given access to the outside world with public use of the internet.
I never Google anything. I don't know what internet is like. I've never been typing anything in the internet.
You haven't? And I would think you would. You
30 years old.
Your access.
30 years old. Never, man.
Just 2 years ago.
You can laugh if you want to.
I'm not laughing. I'm just surprised.
No. I wouldn't feel mocked.
No,
at all.
I wouldn't be mocking or like I'm just surprised because I am talking to you as someone who is educated, who seems to know what's happening outside of Cuba and has a sense of awareness compared to, as you describe, the rest of the Cuban people. So I'm like, you have access or ability in some way, shape, or form. So where is this knowledge coming from?
You, foreigners, and books.
This is The Rotunda. We'll hear more from the art dealer, but now let's turn to Little Havana in Miami, to a crowd of cheering Cuban Americans.
The Cuban American community is so much love. I saw that immediately. Thank you, darling. Oh, do I love you too. What you've built here, a vibrant culture, a thriving neighborhood, the spirit of adventure is a testament to what a free Cuba could be. And with God's help, a free Cuba is what we will soon achieve.
President Trump is announcing his new policies to hold the Cuban government accountable with strong support from Cuban dissidents and exiles. One of them joins him on stage.
You watched the women in white, bruised, bloodied, and captured on their way from mass. You have heard the chilling cries of loved ones or the cracks of firing squads piercing through the ocean breeze. Not a good sound. Among the courageous Cuban dissidents with us on stage here today are Kerry Roque, who was imprisoned by the Castro regime 15 years ago.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Thank you, Marco Rubio, Mario Diaz-Balart. Thank you to all the men and the Cubans who fight. No matter what the times can be for the Cuban liberty, on behalf, Mr. President, on behalf of the Cuban people, the people inside my eyes, my homeland, thank you. Thank you, and we appreciate your love.
So here's what Mr. Trump pledges to do.
We will enforce the ban on tourism.
The ban only applies to self-directed travel to Cuba while group trips for specific educational, government, religious, and social purposes are still permitted. So in order for me to visit Cuba again, I'll probably need to revert back to the old ways of finding a preset organized tour to make it happen.
We will very strongly restrict American dollars flowing to the military, security, and intelligence services that are the core of the Castro regime.
Some U.S. airlines and cruise ships will still be allowed to visit the island. So despite the hype, the biggest blow to Trump's new policy so far seems to be to the hotel industry.
We will enforce the embargo. We will take concrete steps to ensure that investments flow directly to the people so they can open private businesses and begin to build their country's great, great future, a country of great potential.
According to a tweet by Senator Marco Rubio, individual Americans can travel to Cuba under support for the Cuban people category, but they must use privately owned lodging like Airbnb.
We are going to do whatever it takes to empower the Cuban people so that they can be free and live in a democracy and have economic and political liberties that they deserve, like everyone else in this hemisphere deserves.
Both Republicans and Democrats are criticizing the proposed rule.
That if an American wants to travel to Havana or to Beijing or to the Soviet Union, it ought to be their choice as opposed to being driven by government in Washington, D.C.
That's Republican Congressman Mark Sanford of South Carolina in an interview on CNN.
People used to be allowed to have a little restaurant in their home, and now those have been expanded, and you have the start of what could be a middle class. You know, Airbnb was in the process of setting up operations down there so that people could rent out their homes. That's not money that goes to government. That's money that actually goes to the individual, and economic power ultimately yields and leads to political power. So some things were beginning to happen that would empower people to have more voice.
When it comes to the notion of only supporting small independent businesses like Airbnbs, the art dealer, who again wishes to remain anonymous to protect his small business, says it's virtually impossible.
How to avoid supporting the system?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot. You just cannot. Everything in here is arranged, perfectly arranged to continue the way it is. Everything is arranged to continue the very same way it is. You cannot do nothing about it. Cuban people can do nothing about it. You know, only time will tell, like Bob Marley said. Time will tell. You think you're in heaven and you're living in hell. Time will tell.
Many Cubans saw some hope under President Obama.
all I can tell you, I was so much saved. I felt so much safe with Barack Obama, Mr. Barack Obama, than this Donald Trump.
Sitting outside in the square, feeling a cool breeze, enjoying a cool beer, with Trinidad's beautiful colonial architecture around us. Despite not believing in Donald Trump, the art dealer says he's praying and hoping that one day freedom will reign in Cuba. But for now, there is a brutal penalty for expressing his opinions, especially to me.
The Cuban educational system is totally mediocre. If you need to know that 2 and 2 is 4, that's all they give you. They don't give you the 4 and 4 is 8. That's all they give you.
What about the healthcare system?
It's bullshit.
It's been talked about as...
All they say on TV is bullshit. Mm-hmm. Let me make this one point clear. We have very good doctors in here. Cuba is a pit for medicine. We have very good scientists in Cuba. Come on, we didn't make the aspirin, but we have very good scientists in Cuba. Very good. If you take into account that we are a third world country, we do. We have so much development in medicine. The thing is that, like I said before, keeping people bullshit, foreigners, everything.
So how are you typically outspoken here in the community? How do you protect yourself?
You know these lizards that they go to red ground and they go red, and they go to yellow ground and they go yellow? You know these lizards from the desert?
No. Oh. Chameleon. Yeah.
That's what I do. I adapt myself.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to lie, I lie. I got no other choice. I cannot just expose myself. And I cannot just go like, hey, here I am. I'm against your system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I cannot do that. I just cannot do it. Because I would have, in 20 minutes, I would have all the government eyes on me. And my life would be tough forever. That's how you survive in Cuba. You become a chameleon. That's why you do.
Yeah.
Some people tell you, shout Viva Cuba, and you go like, Viva Cuba. Viva Fidel, Viva Fidel. F*** Clinton. That's what you're doing here. You go with the flow. That's what Cuban people do. If you stand out for what you feel and what you think, you don't last long. You don't last long.
As we wrap up, some 4 million tourists visited Cuba last year, a record number of which about 615,000 were U.S. visitors. That includes 330,000 Cuban Americans visiting relatives on the island, but many of the rest were Americans taking advantage of Obama's landmark moves to restore diplomatic ties with Cuba. Travel by non-Cuban Americans has been on pace to double this year, according to the latest government data. But Trump's rollback is expected to put a brake on that growth. As for the new restrictions, they've yet to be written and will not take effect until they are complete, and Americans who have already booked Cuba travel won't have to cancel.
What you do, you try to make a better life for yourself. How? Escape. you totally escape and you expect that all the Cuban people can do so too. That's all.
Well,
that's all.
Thank you for taking this time to speak with me. And however I identify you, an artist, 30 years old, working to make a difference and hoping for a better future than he
had. You cannot make a difference in here, man.
I think you are.
You cannot make a difference in here. In the United States, you can strike. You can say, Donald Trump is not the future I want for my children. F*** Donald Trump. I don't want him. I will not, definitely not, vote Donald Trump. And you may make the difference. Your vote may make the difference. How you do that in Cuba? We have no elections. We have nothing. We have no freedom. Come on, man. We don't even have food. So, welcome to the real Cuba, man. Welcome to the real Cuba.
And that's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. And as always, be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.